It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Low budget,
yes.
Independent,
yes.
Shot in 85, released in 88.
Because the production company went bankrupt.
Right.
I found it. The parachute.
Jackpot. Where?
At least one of them.
Where is it, Jack?
It's by these three big crosses. That's weird. There's no scarecrows on.
The windmill starts turning. The generator starts. The electricity is on in the cabin. And the water starts. It's like it's on. Like there's life now to this property.
Can you bring the fuck up? Now, where's the goddamn money?
We're gonna get it out of you one way or another.
Where is it?
You can see the breathing of the scarecrows, and you know right away it's a supernatural type of a movie.
He just kept coming. Bullets don't stop it.
What are
the
you
scarecrows,
talking
about? Man!
We do get to see scarecrows fucking coming alive and killing people. And that fucking knife right in his face.
That was the one that everybody went, ugh!
Oh, yeah.
Just gonna pick us off one by one, that's all. Just like those crows on that fucking fence, huh?
We have two sympathetic characters, not including the dog. One of them's dead off camera almost instantly. So we're down to one sympathetic character and an entire squad of murderous assholes who just robbed a military base.
I want it to leave right now.
Why don't you do that? I would like to see you do that. They'll rip your tight little asshole out before you can say K-fucking-pasta.
How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Hello and welcome to another Horror 101 podcast. I'm your host, Cash Wampum, and I hope you're in the mood for something a little obscure this time. We're going back to 1988 on this show. There are dozens of scarecrow-themed horror films. Very few stand the test of time, but every so often, you find a little independent film that turns out to be way better than it should have been, and that's what we have to share for you this time around. This has been a guilty pleasure of mine for decades. Most reviewers either love it or hate it. As we set up for the end of summer around here, we're giving the Horror 101 treatment to William Wesley's Scarecrows.
Oh, nefarious Paul V. He's got big-ass coffees.
Limping Paul.
What happened?
Big-ass coffees.
Tore my meniscus.
Oh,
again?
Doing what?
It was that fucked up trip coming back from England.
Oh, so it's still bothering you.
Oh, yeah.
You were fine last time.
No, I wasn't. I didn't
eat. No, he was moving slow last time.
But not like that.
Well, yeah, he's always taking those stairs gingerly.
I'm fucked. So I gotta have surgery.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brian Stewart.
How goes it?
Well, welcome back, Brian Stewart, from your trip to Ottawa.
How goes it all? I have gifts.
He's got a killer bag, like most assuredly killer bag.
All right, so what do we have here so far? I don't know if Nick's coming or not.
No, Nick can't make it. He's
fuck
in the States.
Nick! Can I leave Nick's present here so I don't forget?
Certainly,
it
certainly.
Yeah. This is what we got, Nick. I couldn't resist. There's a beer mug. It says Mordor Dark Ale. One ale to rule them all.
He would let me take a picture and send it to him.
Fuck you, Nick. You gotta have this thing.
There you go.
Mordor Dark Ale.
One ale.
Mount Doom Brewery. I like I love the font. The One Ring font is the Tolkien font.
There you go. Something for your man cave wall. I got you one of these 3D posters.
Oh, that's fucking sweet.
Isn't that amazing? There's a guy who makes these. There's a bunch of different ones, but this one has all the mugshots. Freddy, Jason, and Michael.
Oh, that's fucking sweet.
You see this? And it's in full 3D.
Yes, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
It is in full 3D.
I thought you could hang that on your man cave wall.
That's fucking pretty sweet. Thank you, sir.
No worries.
This is for gifts for me?
They had a horror-themed coffee shop.
Oh, it's a Book of the Dead rock glass.
Yes.
Oh, the Necronomicon.
The Necronomicon on
nice.
There.
Nice.
I shall drink the
Cenobite.
For the fall, there was a horror-themed coffee shop. I got you some white zombie white hot chocolate.
Which White Zombie?
And
Rob Zombie?
No.
Or
the Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi.
And also, and I couldn't resist, I don't know if you drink tea or not, but would you like some Earl Grey tea?
Yeah, hot. I'll drink it hot.
That is the Fog Earl Grey tea.
Pigeon sweat.
Yeah, the next time I'm not feeling well, I'll have Helen make an Earl Grey hot for me with a little bit of honey.
Helen, I saw this. I couldn't help it. This is for your birthday.
This is so sweet.
I couldn't resist.
Birthday's not too.
No, there's a wood burning artist there, and there's a cutting board with your name on it.
The horrible family.
Oh my God.
Let's see it. That's cutting board?
It is.
Holy smokes.
And then hot smoked cheese.
Oh.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
And
oh my God.
The guy also threw in a free killer bag for the board.
Oh, dude, you can have the bag since you do most of the shopping.
Oh my God.
Brian Stewart, yeah, thank you very much.
With Halloween around the corner.
Woman's job is shopping.
Well, I like shopping for other people, but with Halloween around the corner, Mike, that is a perfect charcuterie board for Halloween.
Oh my God, it's so perfect. I'm
Ring day shots.
So how do you guys feel? Have you seen Scarecrows?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
And do you remember it fondly?
I remember the first half being really slow.
Yeah.
I'd say the first third to half is very, very slow.
Nude, you've seen it, because I remember we watched it with Horky and DW, and he had never seen it before. I introduced him to an 80s horror film.
If we watched it with him, I probably don't remember it, because he probably talked through it.
No.
There was a Scarecrow horror film I caught late one night on Adult Swim that had these... It looked like it was filmed like in British Columbia.
No.
And it was really creepy, but it was like... But it looked like mid-2000s CGI.
No.
This film was filmed in like 1985.
Okay.
The distributor, the company that had the rights to it went bankrupt shortly after it was done, so...
It didn't come out for like four years.
The new distributor put it in one theater. They released it in one theater in like 1987, 88, so that the video distributor, they could market it as something that had a theatrical release.
Yeah.
They released it in one theater, and then it went on to VHS.
Right.
And then it didn't make it to DVD until like 07, and then it didn't make it to Blu-ray until like 12, I think, 12 or 13.
Okay.
But this film, we might get in shit for this one. It's not that it's Z-grade. One setting, it's all at night. Like, the entire thing is at night.
Can I just interrupt very quickly?
Go ahead.
The one you remember.
Yeah.
Doesn't involve...
it would set people on fire. This thing
is all drug dealers?
No.
Okay, kids.
This movie was financed by a guy. This, like, the biggest backer is in the film.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
He got one of the paramilitary, the guy with the bald head.
Yeah.
And he was like, he financed, because the guy was writing the script, and he was only 30 years old.
No.
Like, the oldest person in the crew was the director. He was 30 years old when they made this film.
When they made it, yeah.
Everybody else was under that age. And the one of the actors, he agreed, he was a used car salesman.
Yeah.
He had his own used car lot, so he had some money to burn, and he got wind of the script, and he agreed to finance $150,000 of it, as long as him and his dog were able to be in the film. That was the only thing that he wanted. He wanted to be in it, and he wanted his dog to be in the film. And the director's like, sure. I have some problems with the film, but this is a kind of a guilty pleasure of mine, because again, one setting, one evening, there's not like a shred of daylight in this film.
Well,
it's all at night.
It takes place at the beginning of the daylight when they get on the plane, right?
I'm pretty sure it's all at night. It's all one night. But the thing about this film is, like, yes, it's low budget, but there's a couple scenes of fairly decent gore.
Oh yeah.
And the one thing I really like about this film is the patience that this guy had. Like, there's times where you're like, you'll sit there and you swear to God that a scarecrow is going to move and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And because it doesn't, you're like, fuck, that's great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But this is one of those things. I was looking at the IMDb reviews for it today, and most people are like, this is fucking trash, and why the hell would anybody make this?
And then there's like, this is way better than people are giving it credit. Like, there's no fours, fives, and sixes. It was twos or eights.
When you've got a limited budget, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know exactly what the effect is, and you have to do it all in camera.
I think that when we get to the reviews of it, we're going to be, anybody who likes it is going to be like maybe 6/7. It's not very long.
It's only 82 minutes.
Yeah.
And we've got the unrated version. So, folks, I hope you enjoy this. But again, keep your expectations low, please. Very low budget. God. It's a guilty pleasure of mine.
I hate it already.
Bottom line.
I'm going to give it a fucking -3 when we're fuck this movie.
Bottom line, I don't want this. I'm hoping
Andrew,
this doesn't turn into.
You already.
I'm hoping this does not turn into another superstition.
Oh my god! Was that not an entertaining? Are you not entertained by that episode?
Yes, but I was personally disappointed that my crew did not like Superstition as much as I hoped.
Fuck that fucking cunt of a movie.
That's fine. That's fine. And I'm hoping that you come out of this.
Would you rather
watch
Superstition right now? I'll watch it with you.
I'm gonna press play.
All of you can blow me.
I'm gonna press play, but it's gonna be on Scarecrow. So okay. Here we go. All right, here we go.
All of you can blow me.
At first, it seemed easy.
Hey, stop!
We're taking the money.
Take the money and jump from the sky. But they forgot that greed grips the mind like a vice. Turning the simplest dreams to nightmares.
I'm in to get you, Bert, you son of a bitch.
Now it's personal.
They landed in the field of a scarecrow.
Just some kind of superstitious things that are used to ward off evil spirits.
Where's that?
Fired at this thing. He just kept coming. Bullets don't stop it.
What are you
scaring
the house,
man? Like humans.
Somebody is trying to scare us out of here.
It's a deadly race. In which the hunters and the hunted are destined to become victims. Beware of a scarecrow. Kill it. Or become it. Scarecrows, the stuff nightmares are made of.
Hot and hazy weather with temperatures reaching into the 90s is expected to continue throughout the weekend over most of the Southland. WORC News Time, 12 o'clock. Good evening, I'm Don Herbert. Tonight's lead story is the daring and deadly paramilitary robbery at Camp Pendleton. It left 3 Marines dead and at least 9 others critically wounded. Earlier this evening, a heavily armed commando unit held up the payroll office at the base and fled with $3.5 million. The robbers exchanged gunfire with military police as they raced to a nearby airfield and then escaped in a twin-engine cargo plane. The pilot and his teenage daughter are believed to be held hostage on board the Baja Air DC-3.
Turn that bloody radio off.
It was hijacked.
How do you steal $3.5 million in cash from a military base? That means
it was a payroll.
Yeah.
It was a payroll for something.
It just seems weird. And get away with the pilot and his daughter for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
I have questions about the screenplay.
Where's the fire?
Back here! Hey! Don't worry!
We're taking the money!
Yeah, so there's a double cross.
I like how they're Bert starts shuffling the money towards an open door.
And nobody notices it.
And everyone's don't you think this is kind of interesting?
Yeah, it was the most awkwardly telegraphed, I'm going to fuck you over in slow motion.
And then he tosses a grenade in there, longest grenade ever.
Yeah.
And then when it actually finally goes off, it looks like a sparkler.
The money is gone!
Get ready to jump. We're going after him.
Where's the money? It's gone!
What happened to Bert?
He bailed with the money, dumbass.
I saw a house back there where he jumped.
We'll be back, Bert.
Yeah, we'll be back, Bert.
So, what was his initial plan? Because he didn't have anything set up after he got out of the plane. And I would think that he would have had some stuff stash, like a car or a truck stash, well, near where he was planning to drop.
He was planning that that plane was going to blow up with them in it.
Yes, yeah, right. So he but even had still, anything on the ground
with nothing pre-planned on the ground, he would have been a guy in the middle of nowhere dragging a trunk.
I think he was kind of flying by the seat of his pants. It's just like, okay, get the money out, jettison myself, and destroy any witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll think. And
the plane's crashed.
If you think about it, like, they were after the plane. If the plane crashes, then they're going to think that all the perpetrators, it was very much like Die Hard, right? Yeah. If you steal $600, you can't just disappear. You steal $600 million, they will find you, unless they think you're already dead.
Hey, Bert, old buddy, you read me? That's right, you no good double-crossing, scum-sucking son of a bitch. We are alive. Damn it! I can't believe it.
Jack, what's wrong?
I dropped my harmonica.
You can blow Bert's balls off. Come on, let's find him.
All right, Bert. Now it's personal.
Bert fucked them over. It was Roxanne, Corbin, and Curry.
Yes.
And she was, the daughter was Kelly, and her dad, did we even get a name for her dad?
Yeah. And Jack, don't forget Jack.
Oh, and Jack, the big burly Jack there.
Yeah. Eating raw corn.
Yeah.
That's the best way to eat it, you know.
Got to Bert. Your birthday's been canceled.
Hey, Corb, hope you didn't forget your buffalo gun.
She's right here.
That's too cruel, man. That's the gun with the exploding shells.
And Bert, this ammo's blessed. So when I blow your ass away, buddy, every piece of you is going straight to hell.
There's a ton of dialogue coming from the radios of them taunting him. And said, we're coming to get you, you're a fucking asshole, you wanted to double cross us. All that wasn't in the first draft of the film.
By the way, Bert, we owe you a live grenade, pal.
We'll nail you up like one of these scarecrows.
And then we're gonna burn you, Bert. Just like you burned us, motherfucker.
The updates from the Eye in the Sky seem weird. So she's reporting to guys on the ground. And they're constantly tormenting the guy who tried to rip them off. The Budget Rhodes, what's his real name? Kyle? Something? What was his name?
Bert.
You know, Bert, we were kind of hoping you were coming down that road to give us back our money and straighten things out, but you let us down again. You've gone too far, Dirtball.
Yeah, Bert. I think I'm going to have to cut you out of my will.
God damn. Now what? The fucking thing's flooded.
We were listening to what he was thinking.
Yeah.
And I wish it would have done something differently.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, truck, oh, yeah. There's lights and...
What the fuck? The engine's gone.
No engine? Wait a minute. This is impossible. What is this? Some kind of fucking joke?
So I like, so he grabs the trunk, puts it in the truck, goes, and just, the truck dies on him, and that's when he figures out there's no engine, there's no nothing in there. It's like, what the fuck is this about? And that's the first clue where we're like, okay, something's going on here.
Well, except for the key, the fly swatter turned to
it. Yeah, yeah, that was kind of weird. But that could have been just in his head, who knows. But yeah, driving a truck and then it stalls on you and you look and there's nothing under the hood.
Yeah.
We've got a problem. Something's going on here.
Money must be getting awful heavy. $3.5 million's a lot of bread for one guy.
It ain't right to be so greedy.
All right, asshole, just hold it right there.
You see him?
Shut up.
And I like it's like, oh, we see him. We got you covered behind these scarecrows, and sure enough, Bert's around those scarecrows. He starts firing at them. And then they're like, where's that coming from? They're freaking him out. Where's that coming from? Will you hear where he's at kind of deal? I like that.
Over here, Bert. On your left.
Pretty lousy shooting.
Bird's aim always sucked.
Everything you did sucked. Now we'll move right behind you, asshole.
You get a real sense that his betrayal is just unraveling piece by piece. It's just getting worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
He starts off, he gets the trunk, he starts to drive away, he has to abandon the truck when the truck breaks down. He tries dragging it, but they're catching on it, so he can't. So then he opens it up, he takes like two or three bags, and he's dropping bag after bag slowly, and then he's got one bag left.
And
he's like, you want the money back? Just take it at that point.
Curry? Jack? Look. Take it!
We don't want you. I want your blood, Bird.
You want me to run? Well, I'm not gonna, see?
Running's over, Bird. It's time to bleed. Like those MPs with their guts spilling over the runway. Time to bleed, Bird.
Because part of the Scarecrows was mind-fucking, where they were coming through the radio, you could hear them, they could alter their voices, they could sound like anyone, almost like the T-800, right?
Yeah, they could sound like his colleagues.
But when they were fucking with him through the radio, their voices changed.
Yeah.
They were down like a couple of octaves, where it's like, okay, that's not them. That's the supernatural effect here. That's the supernatural effect of the Scarecrow's fucking with him.
Well, you want the money? Well, you can't have it. Because I've hit it. So, let's make a deal.
Say something, motherfucker. Come on, scumbag, talk. Words of wisdom from a dying man.
And then he gets, what was it, stabbed? Was he stabbed?
Stabbed. He was stabbed in, like, the... I couldn't tell if it was in the middle of his chest or kind of like his abdomen.
Well, he bumps into a scarecrow, and then one of these scarecrows comes from behind him, stabs him. And that's the end of Bert for then. And you know what else I like as soon as Bert gets killed you're watching a movie, it's a horror movie called Scarecrow, so obviously there's going to be some sort of fucking weird scarecrow action.
Yep.
And the first time you actually see a scarecrow come out of the darkness and kill somebody, as soon as that happens, the windmill starts turning, the generator starts pumping. The electricity is on in the cabin, and the water starts. It's like it's on. There's life now to this property.
I'll tell you, whoever lives or lived here was very fucking weird. The devil worship or some shit.
Hey guys, I'm coming up the trail. I can see the house. Who lives here?
Mailbox says Fowler. There's a picture of three very mangy guys. Bert could have killed them, but there's no bodies. Just some very ugly vibes.
One question. All the scarecrows you see, because you see more than three, so were they all previous victims of the three brothers who had wandered into the swamp? That's what I believe.
This is one of the things I like about this film, is that those kind of questions linger a long, long time. There's a lot of things that are left to interpretation. You're not force-fed a bunch of information. You're given the idea that this farmhouse at one point was occupied by three individuals.
Three brothers, yeah.
Who may or may not have been into black magic or witchcraft.
Right.
Who are probably deceased, but in somehow have come back as supernatural scarecrows.
Or they summoned something that killed them, and they're just sitting there now.
Who are acting as sentinels against any kind of trespassers.
That's what I believe. Mm. Because when you see them, when they first climb in or get into the farmland or the swampland, it is clearly blocked off. There's a fence, there's barbed wire around the fence.
No trespassing.
So I think every person or every scarecrow you see in there is a previous victim of the brothers.
It's possible.
That's what I believe.
It's very possible.
Yo, Jack!
I found it.
The parachute.
Jackpot. Where?
At least one of them.
Where is it, Jack?
It's by these three big crosses. That's weird. There's no scarecrows on it.
Because the father decides to leave the plane. He has a chance to radio for help when he sees the helicopter going overhead. But I think he was thinking about the warning. You know, call for help or radio.
He wanted that bag of money kept for themselves because he died.
That's why he died green!
Yep. And that brings me to the point, and I think one of the reasons I really like this movie, everybody got what they deserved.
Daddy!
And I like how he's running through looking for his daughter, and you could hear her voice calling for help.
Yeah.
Right? And we're like, no, don't follow that noise, man.
I wish we got more of the dad. I think his going back for his daughter should have been the second half of the movie instead of somebody who just dies off camera. I was like,
yeah, they liquidated him easily enough.
Very quick, right?
Crucified to a scarecrow stand.
We have two sympathetic characters, not including the dog. One of them's dead off camera almost instantly. So we're down to one sympathetic character and an entire squad of murderous assholes who just robbed a military base.
Curry.
What the hell is it?
He's here.
What?
Bert's at the house.
There is a god. Coming right up. Fuck him up. Come on. Stop your bullshit, James, man. You tried to fuck us. Now, where's the goddamn money?
Bert, we're gonna get it out of you one way or another.
Where is it?
So they come back, beat the shit out of Bert. He's not saying anything.
He doesn't even fucking fall.
Doesn't say a thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, how much abuse can this guy take?
Stop it! You're killing him! Stop it!
Change her diaper, will ya?
But I do like, I like how they surmise that he took a drug.
Yeah.
So that they just beat the fuck out of him, not get anything, and then just leave him for dead, and then he'd come out of it and leave with the money. That actually makes a bit of sense.
All right, asshole! Where is it?
Forget it, Curry.
What's the matter, Curry? Can't you take it?
Because he starts talking. He's like, "Well, you can't handle it," or something like that. What did he say to him? Nude? Do you remember? What's wrong? He's like, "What's wrong? You can't handle it."
Oh, when he opens up his vest, he opens his shirt.
Oh yeah. He notices that he's eviscerated with some bills sticking out. He's like, "What's wrong? You can't handle it." And then he starts beating him up.
Watch out!
And then they shoot him like 1,000 times, and he's still coming. He's still upright until Corbin cuts his head off and his hand.
He's not real, man. What the hell was he on?
But since Brian mentioned it, I'll say my favorite scene was the beheading.
Oh yeah,
that is my favorite scene.
It's a good.
Just because you've already established that he's stuffed, he's light, right? But that head still has weight, and when he hits it up, like the head gets knocked off, it bounces and rolls, and then lands stump towards the camera, so you can see it's empty in there, except for like a couple of dollar bills that are all bloodied up.
Yeah,
that I've ever seen.
Holy fuck! He's light as a feather. Cut him open, Corbin.
Sick.
No wonder he's so light. There's nothing in him except strong. Bingo.
The money. He ate the goddamn money.
Kelly, she's gone, man.
Damn! Corbin, go get her! Don't let them take off!
This is bullshit, man. We should be taken off. You think Bert ate that money? You're all fucking crazy. Somebody out there gutted Bert like a fish and stuffed him full of cash.
Your brains are gutted, Dick. How the hell did he kick our asses?
That reveal was... I didn't even consider that. That they would stuff him with the money. And it felt like there was like this primitive evil that didn't even see the money for what it was, but just saw it as a material for stuffing a scarecrow.
So they
just stuffed the money and the straw and everything else in there, and I thought, what a beautifully crude, simple, terrifying image. This thing they valued so much, and it's no more valuable to them than the organs they ripped out, right?
It's all nothing. It would have just been hate.
Yeah, just means nothing to them, right? And it's such a great image. I thought, that is pretty cool to be just stuffed hollow with cash. Is such a cool idea, and that was unique. I really like that. to be animated by the cash.
Well, animated by whatever the fuck was going on, and yeah. We still don't know what the hell was going on and what was causing all the supernatural fuckery.
I don't need to. Don't need to know.
You don't need to.
This isn't all of it, you know. Nearly all of it.
It's hardly any of it.
You're taking single bills out of the corpse of your once colleague.
Or the ones I stuffed in his head were the ones that were really like up
there. They're taking money out of his neck wound. Yeah, you know, and like and covered in gore.
Scraping off the gore.
It's like, how much do you really want this fucking money?
I chuckled on that. At one point they take out a 20 and it's like
caked.
85% blood. I'm like, even if you get out of this situation, where are you gonna cash that?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Launder it? Yeah. Like seriously, launder it?
Like,
if I see a $20 bill sticking out of your severed head, I'm just gonna leave it.
Thank you. Just, I appreciate that.
Out of respect
that.
For yeah. you.
I appreciate that.
You know, somebody is trying to scare us out of here so they can get the money. And we are not leaving now. No way. We've come this far. We are not leaving without that money.
I think she went out a bit too far trying to rationalize what is clearly supernatural. She's like, somebody's trying to scare us. Yes, with a completely animated corpse stuffed with straw and money.
Like, yeah, she's like, we're not leaving now. It's like, you should have been out of here 20 fucking minutes ago, lady. I'd have been like, I'm out. You know, I'm out. See you later.
But Eddie Murphy joke. Tip the fuck out.
I'm out.
Look!
Oh my God, the money.
It must have been in a tree or something, and the wind blew it down.
There's no way the money spread like that off a tree. It must have got caught in an air current or the wind or something.
Let's get it.
Get the hell out of here.
All of a sudden they see the money, and didn't you make a comment? Somebody bitched, somebody was talking about, oh, it must have been an updraft or something like that.
Oh no, before that, he ate the money? I'm like, oh, come on.
I'll be damned.
What? What's wrong, Jack?
You're kidding. Where are you?
But somehow they got separated by, you know, they somehow walked apart. Because the one guy was half a click away when he found his harmonica.
And...
Bunch of Jim Jeffries.
And hands up, who's that's their favorite scene?
The harmonica scene? Like when he gets...
That actually wasn't going to be my favorite scene.
Oh, no? It's probably mine.
Jack?
I'm coming, Jack. I'm coming. Which way? Come on, talk to me, Jack. Which way?
Jack?
Come in, Jack.
What's happening? Jack? Hurry.
Jack!
Come in. Damn it, Curry. Where are you guys?
This way. Let's move.
Jack! When they get Jack and they start sawing off his hand, and then they put that sack over his head, and that fucking knife right in his face.
That was the one that everyone went, ugh!
Oh, yeah.
That's not my favorite scene.
I remember the first time I watched this movie, I remember going, oh, yeah, that's what we were waiting for. There you go.
Way.
I see him.
Come on, let's go.
What are you shooting at? They cut his arm off, man. They pulled his fucking guts out.
Where's Jack?
Bullets don't. I fired at this thing. It just kept coming. Bullets don't stop it.
What are you talking about?
The scarecrows, man. Like humans, they got Jack.
One of the scarecrows was missing a hand, so they were cutting off Buddy's hand and stitching it to him.
Yeah, well, you see it, but yeah.
So, are they, like, desiccated body parts of victims that have trespassed?
That kind of goes into what I said earlier. There are people who trespass and they're doing what they have to do to them.
It's almost like Dr. Freudstein.
Yeah.
You know, like taking body parts and tissue of their victims to
creating a better creature.
To elongate its own existence kind of deal.
They're never gonna let us out of here alive, you know that, don't you?
I mean, it ain't the money they want, it's us.
I want to leave right now.
Why don't you do that? I would like to see you do that. I mean, I think you should just take a little stroll right out there in the moonlight, kid. They'll rip your tight little asshole out before you can say K-fucking-pasa.
I'm not one of you. They don't want me.
Right. You're just going to pick us off one by one, that's all. Just like those crows on that fucking fence, huh? Well, you do whatever you want to do. I ain't going out there again. No fucking way.
The house the cabin that they were at there was like some dilapidated...
Yeah, but you would have found that somewhere in the middle of the fucking... swamps.
They rented it for like $250 a week or a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And but it was right next to a swamp,
which is what they needed.
And like apparently the crew was just inundated with mosquitoes, man.
They
like,
were fucked.
Oh yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, mosquitoes galore at this location trying to shoot.
Yeah.
He's here. Hey Jack. Man, where you been, huh?
Hey man, where are you?
Who the hell are you talking to?
Jack, he's on the radio. What are you, deaf? Hey, man, where you at?
I don't hear anything.
Curry, I like how Curry's like, what if we didn't make it? What if this is like...
Oh, yeah. This is a real...
Yeah, this is real. What if we didn't make it and this is like fucking hell or something like that, you know? And then he starts hearing Buddy on the radio. He's like, oh, Jack, what's up? It's like...
And I just want to say that that's actually a really, the way they did that is really, really good because throughout the film, you hear the conversations between them.
Yeah. Right?
But the one time where, you know, it's in his head, you don't hear the conversation.
And the other two are verifying. We don't hear shit.
There's nothing going on. I like the way they did that.
Look, Curry, let's get the hell out of here right away, okay? We'll get the rest of the money on the way to the plane.
No! Jack's on his way back to the house. He's got the money.
Jack is dead.
He's on his way back to the house with the money.
The money is outside.
You shut up.
Curry, look, if we don't leave right now, they'll kill us.
Now you just get out of here. We'll be fine. Me and Jack, we don't need anybody else. Now you just get the hell out of here.
You serious?
Goddamn right I'm serious.
Let's get out of here.
Get out.
Curry, come with us.
Just get the hell out.
No trouble.
Get out. Get out!
He's on the radio. He's coming back with the money. We gotta wait for him. He's like, no, we're getting the fuck out of here. Like this is over. We're done. We're out of here.
Game over.
He's like, Game over, man. Game over.
Look, I found more money.
Forget the money. Come on, let's go. Come on, Roxanne. Forget the money. Get out of here. Come on.
And that of course, they run to the plane, and sure enough, Roxanne's like, oh, I found more money. It's like, yeah, things aren't going to end well for you, Roxanne. Nothing. I like how... What's that?
Nothing good could come from this.
Nothing good could come from this.
That's my second favorite scene, because is the hand trauma scene. Because not just being impaled, that's a good enough effect, right? But the fact she pulls her hand back and it rips through that last...
Oh, Roxanne! Yeah. Oh.
When she Roxanne!
When they're trying to make their way...
She's trying to get away, she pulls her hand back and it tears through the rest of her hand to get her hand out. That's rare. That's hard to pull off. And I don't know if it was a trick of the editing or how they exactly did that, but it still looked good. You could get the sense that she had to pull her hand... rip her own hand apart to get away from that pitchfork.
And she's dying, gasping for air. It's just her snake eyes dice are getting coated with her blood.
And they were about to... You saw that they were about to start stuffing her, too.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up. Watch the wire. I got it. Go under. Go on.
And just before they get to the plane, well, he helps her get under the fence, and then he kind of gets caught. And how many times did that sickle go into his fucking leg?
Countless, at least three.
But he was standing on it afterwards.
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah. Like that deep sickle like into that the back of his calf. Right,
yeah, his leg was reduced to burger.
You would not be walking.
Yeah,
no.
It's like, and then I like how she's like, oh fuck, man, I just want to get out of here, but I got to help this fucking guy, you know. And, while this is happening on the ground, you still got Curry in the farmhouse. Phone rings.
Yeah.
It's like, hello? It's like, over here in the fridge. You see the fridge open by itself behind him. He looks over and it's Bert's head in there. Who is it?
Well, who is it?
Derek!
And then, of course, Jack comes back, and he's got, like, the goggles on and the big chatterer fucking mouth.
The mouth looked good.
Oh, yeah.
The chatterer is creepy.
Totally chattering.
And I like how he's talking to him. He's like, hey, what, let me in. Let me in there.
They're like, demons out here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's the other thing I wanted to say.
Denomic demons.
Demonic demons.
Let me in there, amigo. There's scarecrows out here. Hurry up, Paco. They're getting closer. I'm not fooling around. Let me in, Curry. I've seen these fucking things. They're definitely demonic. Curry, you're not one of them, are you, man? Tell me you're not. Curry, open the fucking door. It's me, man. It's Jack. Open the goddamn fucking door. Hey, Curry, how are we going to live in Mexico if we're dead?
There's a lot of humor in this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot. Like, what are you doing, man? Let me in. Like, certain parts of it remind me of American Werewolf in London. Like, where this, like, fucking this grotesque violence and blood and gore with some pretty fucking funny stuff just kind of peppered in there every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
And at the end of the film, when everybody's deceased except for the people trying to make it out in the plane, all that shit turns off. Like, okay, our job's done, life is gone, we're done for this session kind of deal. I do appreciate that. And it's all at night. But it was shot in like late 84, early 85. Didn't see release until 88.
Yep. It was filming took place over a period of 24 days in Davie, Florida.
Took 10 years to get on the DVD. Took another 5 years to get on Blu-ray. And here we are.
Though the bulk of principal photography took place in Florida, the exterior scenes featuring the airplane landing and taking off were shot in Mexico 6 weeks later after filming ended.
Yeah. And I had read somewhere, Wesley, what was his name, the director?
Wesley.
Well, it was on there 10
Wesley was the last.
Oh, my God, it was on there.
William Wesley.
Well, I mean, he wrote it, he directed it, he did editing. Yeah. After principal photography, him and another gentleman was supposed to fly to L.A. to edit the film, and they accidentally drove to the wrong airport, and they missed their flight. And the flight that they were supposed to be on fucking crashed and killed 80% of the people on it. And the seats that they were supposed to be on, those people fucking died.
Delta Airlines Flight 191.
So,
on August 2nd, 1985, loss of control due to a microburst. 137 people killed, 26 people injured.
And their seats were in the area where people were destroyed.
Yep.
Final destination.
Yeah. So the mercenary with the bald head that's always smoking the cigar, that's Ted Vernon.
Yeah.
So he was an associate of the director, agreed to finance the film for $150,000.
Right.
As long as he was in it and his dog. So that dog was his dog in real life.
Okay.
That's his dog. And apparently he had a problem with, he didn't have a lot of lines in the film. He's like, hey, what's up? He's like, well, you don't have a lot of lines. You're in it. Your dog's in it. That's what you wanted kind of deal.
Oh.
Right. I will say this, low budget in terms of actual budget, it doesn't feel like low budget, though.
It doesn't feel like the film stock doesn't feel grainy, no, it's not cheaply edited.
The acting is actually pretty decent, for the most, I mean, I was obviously there's
budget roads.
But the acting isn't terrible, except for the young girl. She's pretty wooden,
yeah.
But it's not terrible. Like, if you were to look at this and not know it, you wouldn't necessarily immediately think, oh, low budget. At least I don't, anyway.
What's in there?
The Playboy Mansion.
That's it?
Scarecrows.
Jack, Curry, come in.
We're here.
Bert's heading for the gate. Are you guys on that road?
Yeah.
Well, stay on it. He's gonna have to come through you guys.
Here.
Let's score it. Paul B., you want to score this film?
I'm going to give it 7.5.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually not surprisingly really like it, but I'm actually surprised by how well it holds up. Yes, I know it's low budget, but it doesn't feel low budget to me. It doesn't seem low budget to me.
You know why? Because I think he wrote it knowing his
limitations
yeah. And wrote the script to reflect that
but
correctly.
But it's perfect because outside of the plane, what do you need a budget for this film?
The gore.
Sure.
And that's it.
That's it. performances are all pretty good with maybe one or two exceptions, but they're pretty good. It's scary. Well, I wouldn't say it's scary. It's creepy. Definitely spots parts that are creepy. It's gory. It's violent. It's surprisingly funny, but it doesn't. It's not like sarcastic, like dickhead funny. It's just like I said, American Werewolf from London kind of funny.
It's not goofy.
No. Yeah. So
the other movie.
Which one?
It's a goofy movie.
Oh, Event Horizon. It's goofy. It's a goofy. Event Horizon is a goofy fucking movie. This is not a goofy movie. Yeah, I like it. Good flick. Good choice.
Curry, do you get the feeling we're being watched?
No.
And how come your finger's on the trigger?
Shut up, asshole.
I think this place is possessed by demonic demons.
Your head's gonna be possessed by the butt of my gun if you don't shut up. Demonic demons. Christ.
New, do you want to score it?
I'm gonna give it a 7. Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of what Paul just said. It was interesting. Yeah, funny parts, but not over the top. That, like, groaners. Gore was really, really good. I liked the effects. Like, my favorite scene, as I mentioned before, like, you could see the breathing of the scarecrows. And, you know, right away, it's a supernatural type of a movie. Like, not scary, you're absolutely correct, but very, very creepy and very, like, ooh, what's going to happen? And I like that everybody got what they deserved. You know, greed's bad, and you get your just rewards that way.
Son of a bitch.
Curry?
Bert's playing games. He put a goddamn scarecrow in the truck.
Fucking loose.
Running out of time, boys. If we don't find that money soon, the army's gonna have us for breakfast.
Brian Stewart, you want to score this?
I feel bad because my score feels like it's getting worse and worse. Went from 7.5 to a 7, and I'm giving it a 6.5. But I would watch this again. Press play.
Press play right now.
Fuck you.
I think that my main issue with the film is that there just aren't enough characters for me to give a shit about. And in this kind of a movie where you're up against a supernatural force and everyone's fighting for survival, I just want one or two characters I could give a crap about, you know? The daughter, I can't care about because at every point in this movie, she seems so out of place being in this movie. I don't know why she's there. I don't know, what was it, take your daughter to work day at the military base? I mean, it just seems so weird.
Families do live on military bases.
I know, but what's she doing in that plane? How did she and her father both get kidnapped? So there's a lot of things that don't quite make sense. I think the screenplay needed a second draft before they started filming to iron some of these little things out. But there's no one in this movie for me to really root for. The dad gets killed off camera. We don't see enough of him for me to actually... And we don't see any kind of... But the relationship between the dad and the daughter much. They don't talk. They don't have any shorthand. They don't have any dialogue between each other.
Well, because right away they were hijacked. So it's not, you know.
So unfortunately, which I mean, we were kind of robbed of having to care about a daughter caring, like a father trying to protect his daughter. We get none of that. And so it just seems weird and out of place. And I don't like any of the criminals. I mean, they all have their own quirky personalities, but we're also told they murdered MPs on the runway to steal the money. So these are all dirtbag, horrible people. So there's no suspense there because I don't care if any of them live or die.
And even like near the end when the fits hit the Shan and everybody's kind of freaked out, like Roxanne starts, Roxanne comforts her when they figured out her dad's dead. And Corbin's like helping her get to the plane kind of deal. Right. Like that, there's no redemption there at all for you.
No, because the murder, not only that, but you forget Roxanne was holding a gun to her head to get the dad to turn the plane around at one point so they could do another flyby. So it's like, no. I love that one moment when she tries to hug her to cover her. She's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you're a murderous bitch. Now my dad's dead because you assholes. So there's no redemption there, and I think any attempt at redemption is laughably out of place.
I'm glad they didn't. She didn't give in.
Yeah, I do. At the end of the day, though, there's not one character where, like I say, for there to be any kind of suspense, I would need to care about somebody in this movie, and it's not there. I think it's a character failing for me. Otherwise, the gore is great. Like I say, I gave it 2/3 of a good mark. I just needed a character element. But like the gore effects, surprisingly good gore for considering its budget. And it looked good. I like the night shots. We talked about this with The Changeling. I like cinematography where you just shrink everything down to one little tiny pinprick of light where you can hardly see. And I kind of like when the cinematographer has the guts to put that on camera, you know, where it's just, you're straining almost. You know, that kind of realistic night lighting. It's rare to see.
Yeah, you don't see it very much anymore because, like, natural cameras now can pick up, like, everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, back then, like, you had to light everything up, like, a bunch, yeah. And anything not in direct light was just black.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lost art, unfortunately, Brian Stewart. One of your favorite things in film is kind of a lost art now. Yeah.
We're dealing with some kind of zombie something. I mean, man, they ripped his fucking liver out with their bare hands.
Look,
I don't need
to hear this again, all right?
You know what? I'll give it a 7.5. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I enjoy this film. I like the gore. I like the violence. I like the supernatural effect. I like how there's a lot of questions that still remain to be answered that we're never going to get the answers to, which is great because you get to have that conversation, you know, like, where's the supernatural element coming from? Is there a curse? Is it the three people that lived there that were into black magic? Did they ask for this? Was it bestowed upon them? Were they
victims initially?
Who knows?
Could have been an ancient Indian burial ground that Stephen King likes to use.
Who knows? Were they drawn there? Were these people drawn there because of their evil? We don't know.
Yeah.
You know? We don't know.
It just is.
This is definitely a very rare, dare I say, diamond in the rough. Like, not a lot of people would have known about this film. You'd have to dig for it. It's on Blu-ray. Find it. But if you're in the mood for 80 minutes of what the fuck is happening and just like...
And fun, what the fuck is happening.
Patient, fun, scarecrow shit. You know what? If nothing else, this film should be an inspiration to anybody who's like 30 years old, who loves film and wanted to make their own. Like, you can do it. And if you do it correctly, you can have a production very similar to this. Is it perfect? No.
Oh.
Are there some silly parts of it? Yes. Are there shortcomings because it's a small-budget, independent film? Yes. But is it entertaining and well done? Also, yes. And I thought maybe you guys would hate it, but I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. You know, 6.5. I'll take that. Yeah. I will take that, Brian.
I wouldn't call this a bad movie.
No.
Can I just interject, though?
Go ahead.
Fuck this movie.
Why? Why?
Just because you were so shit scared that I was going to shit all over this.
It's got all the elements that we love. It's a single setting, single evening, small cast, you know.
This is a Shire movie.
We got away too clean, don't you see that? Then we land here, see? And then it's Bird, and then it's Jack, and then it's all of us, just one by one, all of us.
And there you have it, my friends. Scarecrows, directed by William Wesley, a rare and criminally obscure film from the late 80s. This was a production helmed by talented people who were able to give us a movie worth way more than its $450,000 budget. It's a great film for any horror fan who wants a fun, supernatural slasher with all the lights off and only 80 minutes to spare. We hope you check this one out. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., and my lovely wife, Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
And you know what? This never got a sequel. It never got a remake.
Nope. You know what would have been cool? I was actually thinking about that. It would be so easy to do a sequel for people to say, well, the plane landed around there. There's like $3.5 million out in that swamp. We should go looking for it. That would be the easiest sequel. It's like, no one recovered the money. I'm telling you, we should go, man. There's like money out in that forest.
And then they, and it's like, okay, greed again. Scarecrows 2, more greed.
More greed.